Hello, and welcome to the Inside the Orange podcast. So first of all, I'd like to say thanks for everyone who listened to last week's episode with Meredith Bell. It was a great, great interview. If you have missed it, then there's a link in the description and show notes. So please make sure you have a look at it. My guest today is someone who influenced me in starting a podcast. When I was researching how to get Inside the Orange out into the world, I came across a podcast called World According to the Autistic Kid, hosted by Don Barstow. So we've kind of encouraged each other's podcasts since I've come about doing the podcast, and we've now appeared on each other's show. Before we get into that though, and the interview today, here's how you can get in touch with the podcast. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Orange Watts, Orange WHATS. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes. So my guest today was actually someone I researched when I was starting Inside the Orange. He was a young lad. So when I was looking at Inside the Orange, it was about a business, and it was about looking at how people could be better understood in business and having an autistic son, which was what it was based on. The idea was to kind of look at autism and kind of look at podcasting. And I found a podcast called The World According to the Autistic Kid. It's hosted by a young lad named Don Barstow. He's here today. Don, welcome to the Inside the Orange. How's your day so far?
Thanks for having me on. It's it should be fun. Looking forward to it. Podcasts are like my favourite thing to record. So yeah, let's go.
Brilliant. No, thanks, bud. And we did I came on your show recently. Yeah. So we're now swapping roles. And I said to you during that episode how difficult it was being a guest. So now the shoe's on the other foot, Don. You've got to be a guest for me. How do you think you're
going to
find that?
I'm not sure. I was a guest quite early on, but I wasn't really into the swing of things of asking questions all the time. And it feels weird. It's I'm used to leading the conversation and asking. And I don't know. It's different, that's for sure.
Brilliant. So let's go back to where I found you. So I found you, so as I said a little bit in the brief bit there, I was looking at trying to get people understood in business, and that's where the podcast came from. And someone said, go and do podcasts. And I thought, well, I don't know anything about podcasts. So through algorithms, I stumbled across yours. So first and foremost, why did you start the podcast, and why is it called The World According to the Autistic Kid?
Cool. First, I'd like to say that at least means the algorithm's working. That's nice. I first started a podcast. I might have said it once or twice on my show, but it'll be like mid-episode, so I'm not sure if everybody knows this. I started because at first it was about I wanted to do a radio show because I like talking. it's that simple. I've got a lot to say. And a radio show was expensive, if I'm honest. And I had listened to the odd episode of a podcast of interview shows. And that's not how my podcast didn't start as an interview show. It was just me and one of my mates just chatting, or two of them. Can't really remember what the first episode were like now. And I started that, and it was fun. It was a podcast. It's just like a podcast, like an internet radio show, basically. And it's really fun. And it's called The World According to Autistic Kid because I've got autism. I'd recently started talking about it more, and I thought there's a brand in that. And I'm not someone who tries to always say I'm autistic in every conversation. But I do. The people who do that usually are jumping to conclusions quickly, without getting it everybody's voices heard. And I wanted mine to be heard as well, so they could reach, obviously, a middle ground, see what's right. And I said that, and obviously raising awareness, understanding all the buzzwords, I suppose, is also a part of it. And I called it that because it is the world, according to me. In interviews, I always try and relate it back to me so I can understand the guest. So I was going to change it when I got an interview podcast format about a few episodes in, because it didn't really make sense that I'm having a guest talk about their life and it's saying according to mine. But because I always relate, it works and it raises understanding. It also, my biggest goal is to raise that, like, we're the same but different kind of thing. We're the same, we're both humans, we're both people, we're the same in that sense. It's just we have different needs, but I think about us, everybody's different needs anyway. It's just we've got a name for that. I'm saying we a lot as if I'm leading some sort of army or something. But yeah, we say it's just we're the same but different, like everybody else on the planet is how I'd put it. And yeah, I'm enjoying the show. It's fun. Is recording podcasts, so I've kept at it.
No, and I really like the point because you know, it's kind of very humbling to hear you say that it's not about me, but you know, I think what's really interesting is if you find someone interesting, it is still according to you. You know, you're kind of highlighting people, and that's because you find them interesting. Surely that's right, and that's kind of where you're going with that. Is that fair?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair. There's been a few people who, if I was going for a niche, probably wouldn't have fallen in it, but that's because my guests are that varied. It's just because I find them interesting. So yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I'd go with that.
And I want to quickly say you've interviewed Anne Hegarty. I think that was very very early on, and that's she has autism, and she talks about it, and she talks about the kind of I saw something recently online about, you know, the kind of definitions and terminology that she won't accept and things like that for it. Is that, you know, is that something that drew you to her as well?
So it was only my second ever interview I recorded was Anne Hegarty, which is a weird fact. The first interview was with No One Famous. It was just a family friend and it was about autism. And yeah, she had it and she came on the show. She was really nice. And we talked a little bit afterwards through text messenger, whatever we were using. And yeah, that was another reason for getting on, because when I first started doing interviews and turning into that, I wanted it just to be just about autism. But quite quickly on, I realised that would be pretty boring for me. Maybe not for the guests and the audience, but for me it would be. And that's, if it's a hobby, it's meant to interest you as well. So yeah, that was what originally drew. And yeah, she was really nice. And I've not read about the terminology thing yet, because I usually read about everyone that I've got. I've been listening to your episodes most recently, to be fair. enjoyed them.
Very kind of you to say. It's not, I must admit, please, Dom, I don't ask people to do it. Let me just clarify.
But I've been listening. I've done the thing that I hate everyone does to me, and I've gone back listening to early ones first, which I hate when that happens to me, but you've got to. And they're good. They're better than my first episodes. I've got to say that, because I didn't know what I was doing.
You are so kind, honestly, you know. But I think we talked about this on your podcast. It's about building. If you're not going to be Joe Rogan after one episode, it doesn't work like that. You know, but it's about, are you proud of the stuff that you put out, and are you proud of what you've done so far?
I'm extremely proud. It's I probably care more about how my podcast goes than what grades I'll get at the end of the year, because it's exam year. And I said that at first as a joke to someone, but I genuinely think that, because I prefer this. Like, I would happily work a job that just gets me by, as long as I have time to do something like this I enjoy. In the future, that's kind of my mindset on that, and I'm enjoying it. So yeah, I'm extremely proud and want to keep working at it.
No, brilliant. And again, you know, I'm thankful enough. I don't do this full time, but I'm thankful enough that I've got a job that is exactly that. It gives me the time to do what I need to do, which I enjoy. And I enjoy doing this. And this is why we do the Inside the Orange. You briefly mentioned about school. So we've also had a chat recently about education. And you've had a kind of very open and honest assessment. Yeah. You believe that maybe you feel sometimes the schools with people with additional needs, they kind of, they kind of give you the answers to the work. Could you elaborate on what we kind of spoke about with that?
So yeah, we spoke about that for a bit. I think it was on air. It could have been in between, because that happens a lot on my show, talking between and all that. But I think that was on air. And it's something that I've seen more recently. It may not happen in every school, but it definitely happens where I'm, and I think it happens in most, because I've been to three. What happens usually is, obviously, some people do need support. There's no dispute in that. And in my head, the support should be giving you the tools to get to the level of the rest of the class, or maybe higher if you want, up to you. But what it turns out to be is, because it's a job, and people are doing it because they're told to do it, even if they wanted to do it and they're told how to do it, they end up giving them the answer. And when this happens loads, there's been loads of times it's genuinely just been that someone sat next to me telling, not me, but other people, that that's the answer, because I've refused support in a way. The amount of times that I've been offered extra time in tests as well, I've not needed them, so I've not actually bothered saying yes or no to it. But I've refused support like that as well when I was asked about it, because how they do it, I think I've maybe had it once in a primary school, and it is just telling you the answer, which some people do need support. So I'm not saying bashing anyone that does get it, because otherwise they won't get the answer at all. But luckily I can get the answer anyway. It may take a bit longer, but I can get it. So I am in a position to be able to refuse support. I feel like it's unfair for those who aren't, that they get the support, but they still aren't progressing like at all along with the rest of the class, which isn't fair on them. And when people in my school discuss it, they discuss it saying it's not fair on like them to themselves, like, oh, it's not fair they get the answers. But I think it's more not fair on the person that's getting given the answers, because they're not going to learn anything at all, and they're still going to need the support for the whole time, which defeats the whole point, in my opinion, anyway. Yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
No, that's a really good answer. I mean, you know, I think this goes back to what you're saying about the same, but different, same with differences, you know. Let's not just say we all need this certain way of doing it. And I mean, again, that's what I wanted to kind of do with the Inside the Origin. It isn't just a one size fits all kind of thing. It's, you know, we need to kind of understand how people are learning. And I found that very refreshing when you spoke to me about that, about the education and things. I found it really kind of good that, you know, you're kind of talking about that. And that's why I wanted to kind of talk about it today, because it raises a really interesting point, you know, that you have done, you know. Yeah. Let me decide for myself what do I need, you know, and that's really good.
Yeah.
So obviously gold medal thing, you would want to do this forever. But if you were, and even if you were doing this, but found employed to do it, what would you want your employer to kind of do with that? So if you were going to transition from education into work, what do you need your employer to kind of do to get to understand the best and get the best out of you?
I think it's the same as understanding everyone that employees don't really take into account when it's the same. It's like this is something that is not a one size fits all, but that's the whole point. The whole statement is one size don't fit all anyway. And it's hard to say what employment's going to be, so to go into specifics, because like the future is kind of uncertain anyway. But it is just if I need something explained to me a bit more, then it may not be, I need to explain to me a bit more, I just need you to say it again, but slowly, so I can take it in. The amount of times that's genuinely helped. Someone else, like I ask a question in school, for example, about maths, and the teacher, obviously, they're trying to teach loads of people. Again, whenever I say these stuff, criticise, it's criticising the system, not the individuals. I need to make that kind of clear. Because sometimes it might not seem that. And because they're teaching a class, they have to whisk through it so they can get around to everyone. That don't happen. So I asked the person next to me, like, what have I done wrong? And they went and explained what they did. I went, oh, wait, is that? Oh, yeah, exactly. That's what I needed to do, because it was something in maths. So I did that and I worked it out. And if that's the same that I need, surely for an employer, that's like, what, 5 seconds of their life? I'm sure that to make someone do a job better, I mean, I'd take that if I was employing people. 5 seconds and they do the job better.
It's a really interesting point. It's a simple thing that I think does get overlooked so much, but I think there's also a part of it that people need to be able to ask for help as well. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, people do need to be able to ask for help, which, to be fair, sometimes I fall guilty of not asking at all and just struggling, which is wrong, but I probably need to change that. So maybe try and create a workplace where people are open to ask. I don't know exactly how you do that, but definitely look into that, is what I'd tell employers as well. Off the top of my head, obviously, I can't think of ways that would do that. Yeah, I agree.
that's fine. No, and again, it's just, you know, it's kind of refreshing. You know, you do talk about education so well and where it needs to go, and again, you know, naturally that does become employment. As I say, you're a young man, you will go into work, and you know, we all want to go to work to be understood better, and that's why you're sitting on the Inside the Orange podcast, because that's what we love talking about.
Yeah.
You'll carry on.
Okay, I was going to say, I probably talked about school more than I should have on my podcast. It comes up a lot, so I try and keep myself open. I just realised this the other day, people could find out which school I go to because they shared a news article about it. So, I mean, if they you think now they'd be trying their hardest not to do anything wrong to me so I don't say it on the podcast. They should be working better than it is for me. I'm expecting a red carpet next time.
Absolutely. So with the podcast then, so a cheeky question you asked me, so I've got to ask it back. Have you got a favourite episode, and who are your dream guests?
Dream guests is probably... Oh, is it easier? That's not... No. But I'll go with episode then.
Okay.
I've not had a single episode that I've not enjoyed. There have been parts and episodes that I've kind of been thinking, well, this is a bit rubbish, isn't it? But for episodes of the whole, I've enjoyed them all, but that's not the answer you want. And I have got ones that are better than others. Like, I did this one with Cooking with Cody. They were on Russell Howard Hour getting promoted. And he were really nice. And I enjoyed, and the wife went out halfway through, and he couldn't have cared less. He was happy to continue. I did Rich Ganella, drummer with Bon Jovi and Bruce Springsteen. He was really, really nice. I'd go with that, actually. Eclectic Beard Reactions, not all the most famous, but he was such a nice guy as well. I can't say yours because that'd be cheating. So because that would be just trying to get brownie points, wouldn't it? With other episodes. Yours was quite high on there though, to be fair. It's more recent. I prefer the more recent ones. So people can go listen to that. Eclectic Beard, yours, and Rich Scanella. They were my top three. And Dream Guest,
yeah.
I need to get to that. I can't decide between two. Three, but one of them doesn't speak English. Like, because I'm a Leeds fan, I'd love Marcel Bielsa. He doesn't speak English, so I'm not going to have him there yet. But the guy that's director of football for Leeds, Victor Orta, he seemed like such an interesting and passionate person at the club. Like, he'd be amazing. And anyone from Bon Jovi, they're my favourite music at the moment, so that'd be cool. But they're quite high up. Not going to happen anytime soon.
You never know. You never know. It takes one person to listen. Bielsa, yeah, okay, maybe he's his English at the moment. Unless you can learn Argentinian, the language. You know,
what does he speak? Is it Spanish? I don't know. Well,
I'm gonna fail miserably here. I don't want to say anything that might get me.
I'm not gonna say anything more. Yeah, I want anything more.
So my next question naturally is, where do you want the podcast to go? So is it that you're going to end up interviewing Bielsa and the director of football at Leeds?
That'd be great. But if you asked me when I started, I'd have had a proper clear vision of what I want to happen in the next few weeks. But I'm happy how it is. I'm not saying that I don't want to grow. Of course I do. But if it stayed like it is forever, then I'd be fine with that. But yeah, I'd like to grow, I suppose, and make it better for everyone. Just keep growing, keep enjoying it, and as long as I'm enjoying it, I'll keep on doing it. Maybe earn some money off it one day, but that's not the highest of priorities at the moment. But that would be, I'll go with that, growing and enjoying it.
And I think that's really important, because, you know, watching and looking around, you know, the podcast universe, if you want to call it that, you know, every single kind of post you see and everything you kind of see social media wise, comments, you only have to comment, two or three comments down. And the first one, how do you monetize?
I'm like,
give it time. Do you know what I mean? These things do not just happen overnight, you know, and I think that's it. That's the expectation. Again, I think we spoke on your podcast that the podcasts rarely get past 8 episodes. People go, I'm not making any money. It's not about that. What you said there, enjoyment, you know, actually seeing a growth is so important. But go on.
So one about they had one episode out and it did all right, I suppose. I can't remember the exact numbers. I'm thinking, eh, it did all right. And they were asking about monetization one episode in. They didn't even know if they were going to continue doing it. And that you're probably going to lose more money than you make unless you're Joe Rogan. Wait, as long as you're enjoying it, that's fine. It's like playing football, for example. Most people lose loads of money with boots and kits and all that, but they're enjoying it, so it's fine. That's, as long as you're enjoying it, go for it. No, as long as you're not going bankrupt as well, that's a good start. Don't go bankrupt.
Absolutely. You know, you've got to take it carefully. But you know, I mean, I've enjoyed. You know, I'm only going into my third season now, as you're aware. You're a third season guest, and yeah, I just get such an enjoyment for doing it. And I think, you know, that's really good. And it's really, again, so refreshing to hear. It's why I wanted you on the podcast as well, because it's so refreshing to hear such a kind of mature. And again, I'm very conscious how I say it, because I don't want to sit there as the older guy going, oh, well, great young lad. You know, it's not about that, but it is really refreshing to have that kind of mindset. And it's a very encouraging mindset for you to have going forward, 100%, you know, and people listening will surely get that from hearing you.
Thanks for compliments, I suppose. What do you say when you get compliments? Thanks.
That'll do. I want to bring up, so you're sat here in the interview today, as you were when you interviewed me in an England shirt, and we had a conversation. Ours was during the Euros that I came on. Yours was during the European Championships. Before we knew the outcome, you said to me, before we knew the outcome, you said to me, how do you think you do? And I said, look, I'm a hardened England fan. Over the years, it breaks your heart and it makes you so desensitized. I can't even say it, but it really does. It really makes it difficult to be an England supporter. And you said, do you think we can do it? And I said, I'd love to say yes. How do you feel after the Euros? Are you proud of that England team?
Straight after the Euros, I was absolutely gutted. But I live in Scotland, right? And relative to where I live, we're doing pretty well. I know a final of the Euros losing to Italy on penalties is not something to be disappointed in. Well, I suppose on penalties it is. I'm not saying a lottery is the wrong word. I hate when they say that because it is still skill. But of course I'm proud. That's great. I saw people campaign for Gareth Southgate to be sacked. He don't play the most entertaining football, but as long as it's getting results, I want a trophy soon. So 2022, here we go.
Yeah, see, this is where I could probably cause a bit of conflict with listeners here. So I had a conversation with a great friend of mine. He listens to my podcast, and I said the complete opposite of what you've just said. For me, it doesn't matter if we win. If it gets the country, as it did, if it got the country together, if it made you feel proud. And I'm not saying either you're wrong or the guy.
No, I agree.
Absolutely. I've had some absolute debates with this guy going, what do you mean you don't believe that you should win something? Again, I totally agree. You know, it'd be lovely to get a trophy, but I still think you're only champions for 30 seconds. Italy are now, I'm not European champions, they're now going to be defending European champions because it moves on. It moves on so quickly. But I think what it did as a nation, until, you know, and again, I'm going to glaze over a little bit because I don't want to highlight any of the poor supporters that we had in this country who decided to do things that they shouldn't be doing and who ruin our game because of stuff like that for their views. And they, you know, that's not shouldn't be in our game. But what those guys did, what those individuals did as a group of players, brought this country together after a pandemic. It made us all love football. It made us all chat. Surely that's a win.
That is a win. It's probably worth more than a trophy, but because we don't have a trophy, I can't really say that yet without experiencing it. So
good point, you know.
But yeah, it is. It did make proud. And I lived in Scotland. I never knew how much people had Italian blood in them. It's
they'll find it.
Some sort of like, I don't know, maybe 100 years ago, immigrants came in from Italy to, I don't know, it's just they all seem Italian now.
I love the fact that we're having this conversation on my podcast. So you've now isolated Scotland from listening to my podcast.
I'm so sorry.
I need to do a disclaimer somewhere, Dom. All my guest views are their own.
Oh yeah, I love Scotland. I'd love for them to do well. But no, yeah, sorry.
No worries, no, not at all.
Most of mine are in Scotland, to be fair. So I don't know why I'm saying any of this.
We had a little chat before we came on air, and you said, yeah. One thing I want to get to again, a link to the football, was you're helping the yes. younger lads with voluntary coaching and things like that. Tell us a bit about that, and why is it so important to you?
Okay, so before, I need some quick backstory. I want to go into coaching. That's my idea. That's what I do. I do it part time, like I said. Hopefully, that'll give me enough money to be able to do this as well. But that's what I want to do. I want to go into coaching. I love football. Not exactly the greatest player skill wise, but I think I've got the right brain for football. So I've always wanted to go into coaching for that. And I was looking into how to do it at the start of the summer. Because coaching badges are 16, referee badges are 16 in Scotland, 14 in England. So I'm in Scotland. If I went to England for a few weeks, maybe I could have done it, but I'm currently in Scotland. Sure. So looking into volunteering, because I'm pretty sure you don't count as a coach, is what someone told me until you're 16. So I get to count as a volunteer. That could be wrong, but that's what they've told me. The company don't, anyway. An Active Schools, a charity, they were one of the couple of people that got a message. I sent a few messages to non-league local clubs as well. I sent a message to loads. And they answered, because they've got a young leaders program as well to get people to volunteer. So obviously I was like, get in, I'm doing that. Because that's what I want to do. It's with smaller kids, not exactly what I want to work with when I'm like, in 20 years' time, but it's definitely a start, and it's fun. It's not football that I do. I do all sports. I've done football the most. And I started with football because... Oh, you got to choose when you start because it's a volunteer basis. You're not getting paid. You get to choose, luckily. And because I knew football and it was my first session, it'd probably be easiest to do football first. And I find the kids hilarious, right? That is like one of my favourite parts. That some of them are gobby little annoying kids, as they will be.
Very good restraint. Very good restraint.
I didn't even mean to lead up to that. It was just, I was calling them little and gobby, and then I realised where I could have gone with that. So I had to... stop there, but they are annoying. But most of them are funny. They're gobby. Like this, my first few weeks was the week we lost to Italy. That was my first week, and the coaches were from, were they from the Luton area? I think they were from Luton area. That's what they said anyway. I'm not 100% sure, which won't help you as a Watford fan, will it?
We had a chat before we come on about unacceptable language, and you've just used the L word on my podcast. So.
Gonna have to bleep it off. I don't think they were Luton fans, but that was the area anyway. Okay. That's what I said. And the kids knew that because I didn't speak at first. They were doing it at the coaches, so I didn't get bullied by 7-year-olds. But the coaches got bullied by 7-year-olds. And my favourite moment was when we were in a game inside. It was indoor football. We had to wear masks. They didn't because they get away with that. And they've been saying Mamma Mia the whole time, putting on rubbish Italian accents, and I will criticise them for it because that was annoying. And one of the coaches decided to take a penalty because they were fed up with one of them, and they scored, and it was like absolutely amazing, and they put on the Italian accent back, and they came up, Mamma Mia that. And it was hilarious. I loved it. It was probably one of the best parts of coaching at all. And my favourite parts, though, some of the kids, they're just really nice, like four, and they're, like, more polite than I am. Like, it's amazing. One of my favourites was there for, like, a whole week, everyone. I was there, and he made it so much easier. Like, if people were arguing, he'd be like, please don't do that. Oh, it was great. so it's fun. I've done football the most because I enjoy it, and it's easiest to coach because it's just kicking a ball. The only part I dislike is when it's glorified babysitting. Because some kids don't want to be there, which isn't their fault. And sometimes, I'm not saying it's the parents' fault. I'm just saying they could maybe find an activity that's better. But if they can't, fair enough. But yeah, it's fun. Good fun. Hopefully I can get into coaching when I'm like 5-10 years. Yeah. Coaching badges will be next year, if I can afford them.
Well, so we'll start somewhere, and as I say, you know, the best way to start is voluntary. You know that, you know, it starts building up things like your CV, and now, you know, without getting too, you know, business talk, you know, it's good. You know, it's always something you can use, and you know, again, you know, it's difficult. You know, you've gone in a situation where you're dealing with younger children, and I know from experience that when they are that age in football, it's like they're like sheep. They're like little sheep. There's the ball, and there they all go with it, like a swarm of bees. pretty much how Watford used to play when I first went to Coventry, I think. You know, that's 1-0 now. So you've offended Scotland. Now I've offended Luton and Watford. So,
we'll get the whole of the UK by the end of it.
This is going well. So, look, and that's really good and interesting. So you said you want to go into coaching, you want to keep the podcast. So we talked about where the podcast goes, but yeah, go on then. Ultimate dream, where are you going with what's your ambition going forward?
I would love either the Leeds job or the England job, or I've been playing Football Manager recently, and the Watford job would be amazing.
Yeah.
They've got so much history, and without offending, they don't have as much trophy as the history. And I think that's kind of an interesting situation. That I would get the first Premier League title for Watford. That, there we go. That's what I'm saying. Okay. I'd get that. That'd be my first job. I'd go to Leeds and then I'd finish off with England. That's it. That's the career path.
Okay.
I don't know how I'm get Watford first.
I want to add something, because you said earlier, before we come online, that you said you've been playing Football Manager, and we spoke before. Big fan of that. Obviously, they've got quite a big Watford connection, because I know Miles Jacobson, who is whatever he is a massive Watford supporter. But you told me that you've had the Watford job on there for 17 years, which is unheard of in this day and age, because we are the sackable team club. So well done for keeping the job.
When I kept the job, I was surprised I kept the job, because without insulting, they do go through a lot. It's like Leeds a few years ago, go through a lot of managers. But I was winning things, so I don't know. We got new owners about 5 years into it, so which would be when I reckon I'd have got sacked, because I was having a bit of a rough start to the season. And I didn't get sacked because I'd won trophies. Champions Leagues as well. Don't worry about that. That's all covered. But yeah, 17 years. You can tell we've been in a lockdown. I'm 17 years in. I'm more than that. I'm in 2045. I mean, you can tell we've had a lockdown recently.
Hey, look, you know, if it's kept you happy, that's what you want to do. And you know, it's success to Watford, so it'll make me happy in any form I can take it. That's fine.
But I had people about Football Manager on my podcast as well. Zealand, he was really nice. Football Manager, something I talk about a lot, because it's addictive. Because you want to succeed, it's extremely hard. That's my CV, that, for getting a management job.
And again, I think we spoke on your podcast when we did your one. I said that there was a team in the UK, I can't remember who it was, that actually said, we will not be accepting CVs despite how well you've done on Football Manager, because people were saying, I've bossed it.
I also saw a thing, apparently with Middlesbrough, Nottingham Forest, who someone sent their Football Manager CV as a joke. It was on a Football Manager group, and apparently they responded back saying they're overqualified, which I love when they do that.
it's good to see humour from the clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, it makes it more humour, but that was fun. Someone sent the job application to Spurs when they didn't get anyone working for ages, and I thought it was hilarious. They were taking the mick out of them, saying their max purchase was 600 grand, but that's obviously a bit more than what they're willing to pay. It was hilarious. I loved it. It's been cited in divorce cases as well. I found that out.
Yeah, it's incredible. So, it's good.
That's great.
So look, you're busy, you're getting Watford promoted, you know, you're doing your coaching in real life, as they say, you're doing the podcast. So for people that are interested in going to find your work, so where do they find your work? Where can they find you? Where can they find social media? Just have a little chat. Tell us where we can get you.
So all the Facebook pages and Instagram, I don't know what social media we're on. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Are we on anything else? Maybe. Search our name on there, The World According to the Autistic Kid, or on Twitter, it's The Autistic Kid. And you'll find us there. The website's theautistickid.com. I'm going to say no caps, but I don't think it really matters. I think I've searched it with caps and I still found the website. So it should work like that. And obviously on Spotify, I think the only platform to podcast I'm not on that are major is Stitcher, and I'm not sure if I'm on iHeart, but I'm working on it. But yeah, most platforms, most people use Spotify or Apple. You can search me there, and it counts towards my stats on Anchor as well, which is what I use to publish it. So yeah, people can go find it there. It's great fun. They're getting longer recently, our episodes. I'm going to try and trim them down. Like, not if it goes over 2 hours, I've decided I'm going to cut it into separate episodes, which means it looks like I've done more work. So, so getting two things with that.
That's a British mentality, isn't it? Look, I've done twice as many episodes.
Yeah, I've done more work. Look, honestly. Absolutely, you're right. I don't know what I'd add on to that. It's weird not leading the conversation. I'm trying not to ask and do all this.
You're doing very well, because as I say, I know I struggled. I don't think I even got 5 minutes in yours without I was able to ask you a question. So you've done very well. You have done very well.
I think it helped. I've already interviewed you, so I've got all the bases down.
That works. But look, I mean, you know, it has been such a great find finding you and finding your work. And again, you know, I wouldn't be sat here if I didn't see people like you leading the way. And again, you know, as I say, again, I don't want to sound patronized, I don't want to sound it, but such a young man, I said to you on the end of your podcast, you know, if I'd have sat there at your age and been able to do what you do, I'm 20 odd, you know, plus years older, you know, and it's incredible. So, you know, thank you for that. And also thank you for kind of people like my son. As I say, my son's autistic, which is why I started doing Study Orange a little bit, you know, to help my kids get understood better in business, for helping my children kind of have an outlet as well, and to listen to things that might actually resonate them more than me telling, you know, trying to help them. You know, it's someone who is living the same but different life, if that's fair. Again, you know, I'm able to say that. So, you know, thank you for that. It's really, really important to have people like yourself doing what you do.
Thanks for the praise. It's it's nice getting praise, I suppose, is the easiest way of putting it. And like I said, they're same but different. Everyone's got their own voice, and that's like kind of my key message in it. Just I saw a debate online. Who should we trust more, the autistic parents or the autistic adults? I was thinking, why not ask the person they're talking about, like the child, if they can communicate? So yeah, it's fun. Thanks for the praise. I'm enjoying your episode. It's great.
Bless you. And again, you kind of touched it there just before we finish. The other thing I think is really good with your work is you kind of challenge that kind of negativity. If you feel that someone's saying you can't say that, or ableist and things like that, you're actually going, well, actually, if they're helping, why not? You know, is that fair as well?
Yeah, that's how I see it. I was seeing this thing about the puzzle piece as well, for example. I discussed it?
I think we had a little bit of a chat,
Yeah, and although I wouldn't use it, if people are trying to help, as long as it's not causing any harm, use it if it's working. Now, go ahead, it's great. Yeah, thanks. That rounds it up, doesn't it? I'm trying to be open, and I don't care what people think is one way of saying it.
It's more than that. It's kind of just being comfortable enough to make sure to give your view and to kind of help people accept and understand and grow, you know. And that's it, really. When you just started that sentence, you were like, that's about it. I thought actually you were closing this episode, I must admit.
Oh, no. When I realized I said that, I thought, that doesn't sound right. I'm not trying to close the episode. I could talk for like 5 hours straight more. But
it was your bit, Dom. It was your bit to say, I'm running this show. I'm running this.
The inner podcaster, I can't resist. Well, like and subscribe.
Well, honestly, Dom, it's been absolutely brilliant chatting to you. We're going to continue talking, because again, you know, I love to champion your work. You've been a fantastic champion for me, and I thank you so much for coming and doing it. Have you got any last words? I will give you the last word. Anything else you want to say to the people listening today that's important to you?
If you want, you can find me, and listen to people. That's what I leave it at, because I've had loads and I've criticised my school for not listening to me, not listening to others. And that wouldn't have happened if they just listened. Life would be much simpler if you just listened. And it is hard, because there are sometimes just someone thinking, yeah, you're pretty stupid there. But just listen, and if they are saying something that's wrong, discuss it and don't get angry. You can be passionate about being angry, is how I'm going to put it. So yeah, be kind.
Yeah, great words to finish on. Dom, thank you so much, and again,
thanks for having me.
No worries, thanks a lot. So a massive thank you to Dom for coming on the podcast. Please make sure you go and check out It's the World According to the Autistic Kid, It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, like he said. Go and have a look and see his work. Now, next week, I will be joined by Walt Hampton. And Walt is trying to get everyone a little bit more time with their families, with their loved ones, and doing what we want to do in life and not being constrained by work and making sure the work that you put in is the best work you can do so you get the time to enjoy when you're not there. That's all for the episode today. All that's left is to hear how you can get in touch with the podcast. For now, goodbye and take care. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Orange Watts, Orange WHATS. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes.